The last time I was here, which was in April, you had a kind of a German expressionist Lichtenstein.
Right, right.
So that's
gone away and closed.
Sold.
And what year is this? This is 1967.
Just a couple of things that I sort of have holes in from the last time, and part of it was you had sort of, you weren't too crazy about, you know, talking about this rags to riches thing. That was one point. But just, you started the gallery in California, in Los Angeles, I mean the gallery that sold paintings in 78. Is that right? And then the thing where I'm kind of lost in is, so when you were doing posters and that kind of really very different kind
right.
of
work, before
that. It was like in the late 60s?
No, 1975, 74.
Okay, 74, 75.
Right, like right. Late 60s, I was in college.
Right, so the this Westwood, this patio.
Was 74, 75. Right.
Okay, great. And when I talked to David Geffen, he had mentioned in this interview, I mean, he had said, oh, well, you know, Larry's was, you know, in the William Morris male restaurant
right before the patio.
Right. So in other words,
that was 73.
I see.
You know, I'm within a year or two.
Right. Okay. In the early 70s,
before I got into the poetry.
Okay.
I wasn't in the mail.
Okay.
Started out at the next step up.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't much of a step. It was no step in salary.
Uh-huh.
It was called the runs, and it involved delivering skits.
Uh-huh. I see.
Prints and contracts to studios, studio heads, actors, directors. You can basically drive on in a little Volkswagen Beetle all day to the Valley, and Warner Brothers, the Fox, the Actors Home.
Okay.
Well, I was actually in the I was in Homer's Don Renoir. Kind of didn't know what to look at on the wall.
But still,
I wish I had. Yeah, I wish I was back in that room.
And what is the? I mean, do you like bristle? Do people still call you or refer to you as Jogo? Is that something?
No, no, no. I mean, there are a couple people who do. It's usually, I take it as an enjoyment.
Right.
I don't bristle.
Right.
It's a little embarrassing when you see it in print.
Yeah.
There are a couple of friends of mine, you know, from the old days, more or less, but not too many people.
And when did that?
It started when I was a kid, actually. That's the thing.
Really?
It's happened at least three or four times in my life, and it's always totally unrelated. It had nothing to do with the go-go 80s or moving fast or any of that. It was because when I was, you know, in grammar school, because I had a long name and somewhat of a little bit of a tongue twister, at least for a child, they couldn't spit it out, and go-go became like an abbreviation.
I see.
That. So it wasn't about, you know, zooming around or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But then it totally coincidentally I sort of got stuck with it again, and it was I don't even know why.
Was that in New York or California the second time around? I mean the when you were the grown up go-go.
California.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's kind of like an abbreviation for Bogosian.
And when you left, so say you opened, or you had your gallery around 78 in Los Angeles, and that went until you came to New York, or did it?
Well, no, it overlapped. It
okay.
In 79, I bought a law.
We
went over there, right?
I think the one on West Broadway.
West Broadway.
Yeah.
But I was still living in L.A. and my gallery was in L.A. And it helped get me more established in the New York art world because for obvious reasons, it was in the center of the Soho Arts Center, yeah, across Street from Castelli. It also gave me a space where I could actually hang things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little short. I'm okay. Sorry, I apologize.
Okay. So you were saying that
something may be coming soon. If they don't come, okay, then I've got more time.
Okay. Sounds fair enough. So now the other piece of this, so when you came to New York and you opened the 23rd Street space, I mean, when you...
That's when I moved to New York.
Right.
Okay. I left, I sold my house in Venice Beach, and I moved into the loft full time, which I bought in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. And I opened the gallery at the end of 85. I mean, the first show was October of 85.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was the trend.
But I still had a gallery in LA. I kept the gallery in LA for, I think, close to 2 years. And it became more and more difficult to really keep the quality of the gallery in LA being an absentee owner. So I closed the gallery down in LA because it wasn't making sense to keep the gallery in LA.
Mm-hmm. And is the anecdote about, which I read, must have read somewhere, about that you got this loft in Soho like for not a lot of cash and like
a trade,
there
was a little bit of cash and there was a Bryce Martin painting. Mm-hmm.
And just out of curiosity, what would that Bryce Martin painting be worth today, would you say?
Was I don't really know.
Probably
about the same as the loft.
They zoomed up, like half a million.
Soho real estate zoomed up, I don't know. I really don't know what the relative values are there.
And you still have the loft?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I rent it out. Uh-huh. I live there.
Okay. And what I wasn't clear about, too, was the other piece in terms of now, in terms of the operation here, the space in Soho. Is there a way that you can say that, you know, your so-called secondary sales account for such and such activity percentage-wise?
I never like to look at things that way.
Right.
I can probably ask my bookkeeper, my accountant.
Right.
I could probably get, you know, we're going to get it, we're getting it.
Yeah.
But I don't like, I just think then you start doing things to play into numbers.
Okay.
You start reacting to things rather than working more instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really interest me. I know, I just feel that there's a relationship between the two, but I don't know what the ratio is or the percentage is.
Okay. And time-wise, the same? I mean, in terms of you put, like...
It changes. Sometimes I'm really consumed with the artists that we represent.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times I'm involved with something that I'm working on, you know, on some so-called secondary deals.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends.
Mm-hmm. So in the last month, I mean, we've had the auctions, we have this front page thing about, you know, did that make you, like, envious today when you saw Stephen Mazo as the broker of this painting? Or is that, would that have made you cringe to see that? I mean, in terms of, did you find it unusual that in terms of, I mean, I'm just curious about that they announced how much money they paid for it, or... Was that just something that Annenberg probably wanted to do or to say?
He did it last time, too. Yeah, he did it last time, too.
Because usually...
But
I'm just saying, if you were in Mazo's shoes or something, or... I don't know. No, why would you cringe? That would be crazy. You'd be ecstatic.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would he cringe?
No, I don't know. Just... I guess it's just a public thing. I mean, let's see. So... I guess what I'd like to know, I mean, in terms of, are you projecting or are you planning any basic change from where you are now in terms of this kind of balance between you're having these historical shows, you're showing contemporary works downtown, sometimes here, developing, are you thinking about going in a different direction or concentrating more on one activity than another? And because it, I mean, is your sense in terms of the art market right now, I mean, after these auctions, do you feel like better about it? Do you think?
I do. Yeah.
And can you differentiate between the modern impressionist and the contemporary?
Well, the impressionist and modern prices have always been substantially higher than contemporary prices. I mean, at the top of the market, you know, the Rembo sold for $80 million. Renoir sold for $78 million.
Right.
And even lesser impressionist paintings would, you know, commonly sell for over $20 million, but not necessarily great paintings. So there's always been a spread in the price structure. I think that the biggest factor in terms of accounting for that now is the relative quality of pictures in the contemporary auctions has not been as good as the pictures in the, and I think if you had a really, really fresh, you know, maybe an estate picture, I don't know, you know, a really fresh picture,
yeah,
it might bring a very good price. But the quality in the contemporary sales has not been the same level.
What do you think a painting like John's as Falstaff would bring today?
I don't know.
And is that, can you say, because one of the things I haven't been able to really, but is this like off the mark or is this in the ballpark of accuracy or relative accuracy? That Cy Newhouse had some paintings privately.
You won't
comment on that. Yeah, no one will.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Why is that good? It just...
Because the way business should be conducted.
Okay.
I think it's true of a lot of businesses.
Now, can you... I mean, one thing that I've also wondered about in terms of... like, when you came to New York in 1980, I mean, when you opened your space on 23rd Street in 85, in the fall of 85, I mean, you know, your name had been around, it had been in the press, but not in a major way. And not using that as the only barometer by any means, but what would you say was the thing that really increased the spotlight on you in terms of the program you were doing?
I think it was the program. The space when I moved to Miami Mass, I think the space had, you know, it's a beautiful space, I think. And that had I really don't know, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's not an easy question for me to answer. I really don't know why certain things get more attention than others.
And so this space, which we're talking about, that was like 80, you moved in here in like, what was it, 88?
Mm-hmm.
In the fall of 88? So, and the garage and stuff?
Yeah, the first show was January, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. Okay, and I guess last time you talked about, you said one of the most important, or the sort of like your most important asset in a way, was these kind of long-term relationships that you've developed with collectors, with clients, or however you want to.
Well, also the artists.
Right.
The artists.
Okay.
I would put them on the same level, I think, is misleading too.
Yeah. I'll call them back.
You wouldn't put them on the same level, or
well, I don't put them on the same level. It sounds silly. You know, they're both obviously important for any gallery. It's in no way unique to this gallery.
Yeah.
It would be true of any gallery. I mean, not to insult the question, but it's sort of obvious in a sense. I mean,
no,
long-term relationships with clients are obviously important for any business.
Right.
And since I represent artists, those relationships are crucial as well.
Right. Because, I mean, I was sort of, because both Amit Ertegun, and David Geffen, I think Keith Barish, and others really went out of their way in saying that, you know, you had a, they had a personal friendship with you and that it was very important. And so, and I don't, for some reason that doesn't really come out that much in terms of what you read about, you know, Larry Gagosian, da da da.
Because it's a personal relationship by definition.
Right.
Those relationships are personal, they're not.
Right.
How would it come out? I mean, in a sense.
No, but I just mean it seems that the, it seems that what comes out more is sort of like this, more hard-nosed.
Well, that's what
approach.
You asked me.
Yeah.
When we spoke, when we were here last time, you asked me if there was one thing that,
right,
in terms of the press that I've gotten, if there's one thing that I would single out that I've wrestled or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And it probably is that, because I think it's misleading and I don't think it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And it just plays into, I would suspect, some sort of an expectation of the audience or some form of eroticizing or titillating, whatever you want to call it. And that, and I can't really do much about it. I mean, but I think it's misleading. It's sort of too easy.
And is the, did the, getting back for a second to the to this thing about, you know, like at some point it seemed that you.
That's true of a lot of people, don't you? I mean, there are people, you know, I've met people, and you probably have too, that were, you know, you heard they were really tough and really hard,
right,
and maybe even ruthless in some cases. And then you meet them and they have some sort of
relationship.
And then you see that that doesn't mean that they're not tough.
Right.
And, you know, but
some level,
people have different parts of their personalities.
Right. Right. Because was it real important for you? I mean, it seems like it was really kind of key for you in a way. I mean, in terms of when you got, like Leo Castelli and got, you know, you opened a gallery with him, right? That was also in the late 80s? Is that on Thompson Street?
Right. Around the same time.
Because that was in a, I mean, do you see that as like a, any kind of milestone or like that?
Well,
I mean, in
terms
of,
I think it was important. We already had a very good close relationship, and that kind of formalized it, at least in terms of that one space. It drew our business activities closer together. I think it's a relationship that's benefited both of us, and we've it's a profitable association. It's also I enjoy company.
And that's still ongoing, is the way it's been?
Yeah.
It's sort of, so it's like, is it like 50-50 kind 50-50, of thing?
50-50, yeah.
Okay. And what I talked to, the other thing I talked to, her name escapes me at the moment, but she's now working at, she's the director at Jose Ferrer in Soho, and she used to work here.
Jose Ferrer? It's a gallery?
Yeah.
I
have her name somewhere anyway.
Right. I think I just can't remember.
And she was saying that you were always selling artworks. Like she was saying, you know, every day he'd sell two things or something like that. And is that something that you expect to do every day, or I mean, is that?
You can't. That's,
right.
That's an exaggeration.
Right.
But I mean, that's part of what this business is about.
Right.
And
is that on a good day?
Well,
on a great day?
Yeah.
Because she was
I'm not very statistically oriented.
Right. Okay.
You know, but I mean, you come to work and you want to get results. I mean, you want to, selling art is obviously the main reason a gallery exists, any gallery.
Right.
So, I mean, not running a museum. You may have shows that people, you know, call museum quality, become an overused term, but let's just say that they're well put together.
Right.
I like to think they are. But really, obviously the lifeblood of every other gallery is right. It's selling art. So.
And the, and I don't know, maybe this is an obvious question, but I mean, in terms of the, you, to get this, to keep this whole thing afloat, you probably have to sell a lot of art.
Absolutely.
To just meet the bare bones.
It's an expensive gallery, right. So we have to sell.
And is that working out, I mean, in terms of like this time? And,
I think so. I think in a way, my sense of it is that the bigger galleries, even though I don't think anybody likes overhead, per se, nobody does. But I think that the galleries that are bigger, for the most part, I mean, some private dealers do very, very well, but I think forgetting private dealers and people that work, you know, out of quasi-residences or that kind of thing, which that can be successful or it can be, you know, depending on the mix of what they have. But I think in terms of the galleries, I think the larger galleries are probably doing better in this period than the smaller ones. That's my sense of it, just, you know, looking around what I hear, what I'm not really obsessed with what other galleries are doing. But I mean, it makes sense in a way. If things are slower and softer, you know, maybe the obvious conclusion to draw would be, well, you know, your overhead is, you know, the big gallery is hampered by expenses, only if they're not selling, but they're not. I think, you know, like Pace Gallery or Leo, I mean, Leo, you know, they sell quite a bit of art down there. I think the bigger galleries are more geared to deal with, because they can proliferate more aspects of the art market, and they can, you know, have people traveling to Europe, to the Orient, when you're in a period when things are contracted, I think that's an advantage. And I think in my opinion, it outweighs the fact that you have a more expensive operation.
And I mean, certainly Pace is, you know, internationally, or Castelli having these satellites, and I mean, in the 60s, sort of the Sonnabend thing in Paris and all that. Are you very international now? I mean, you have like people on your staff that speak different languages and are specialists and is that and do you yourself try, I mean, do you like go to Europe a lot? And
not that much. I don't really like to go. I go 2-3 times a year.
Are you going to go to the Biennale?
I can get more done when I'm here. It's just the way I work best. I am going to the Biennale, but I don't travel. I probably travel less than the average. That would be my sense of it. And I just feel like I get more done when I'm at my own desk, my own staff. And, everybody has their own way of working. On the other hand, when I travel, I usually find that, you know, something comes up that wouldn't come up if I hadn't been there. And I say to myself, I should do this more often. I just went up, I'm not a good story.
Somebody running out with a
huge job
bust of Diego or something. How is that going, by the way? The show here is that mostly a loan show?
It's all loan.
It's all loan. And
this is good.
And
this is an early Giacometti, it's a Cubist Giacometti.
Really?
Yeah. It's 1926. It's a beautiful piece. It didn't really fit in the room. It didn't really, there wasn't really a play off it.
Oh, and let me, just a couple more things, just so I get this straight. But you live, in the East 60s.
Right.
And you have a place in the Hamptons,
right.
And you have this place, mm-hmm. and
downtown.
In downtown. And you had mentioned the name before, which I couldn't read in my of the guy who designed the desk and some of the things here.
Is that Natalie's interesting?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like just like, little, it's almost like what kind of shoes you wear. I just
right,
think that's what
right. But everybody mentions that. I mean, I have noticed, I mean, lately, have you like changed the way you're like tailor or something?
No,
I mean,
not really.
You're not dressing more casually than you did?
Well, it's summer.
It's summer, okay.
Maybe a little bit, you know.
Because right. It used to be every Larry Gagosian, you know, Armani.
I kind of backed off of that.
This and that.
I think it's a little, you know, it's a little harsh.
It's too corporate or something?
I have friends who are very much involved with Armani, so I don't want to, you know.
Really?
He's a great designer, but it's a little studied, yeah.
It's a little what?
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like
a little studied.
Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah.
You end up in a situation with everybody else, too.
Right.
Everybody's got the same tie, the same bottle, and so what's the point?
Right, okay. Now, there was some item that's got this William Norwich column today.
Yeah, that was a doozy.
And what was that? I mean, is that...
self-explanatory.
It happened.
It's screaming. I don't know why. I was kind of shocked to see the.
That it just sort of.
Well, the big
popped out. Yeah, Gagosian. Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Uh huh.
I didn't like that.
And what the thing I kind of asked you the same question the last time, but what I wanted to ask again was, what has not happened for you with the gallery or with, you know, in this world that you still want to happen, that you're either, I mean, that you can talk about, or that you're...
A lot.
Like, can you...
It's a lot. I mean, nothing specific. It's a lot.
There's one thing, I mean, in terms of...
I wouldn't talk about that.
And does it touch on artists? Pictures,
everything.
So you're not like sitting back and saying, "Well, this is enough."
Just the opposite.
Okay.
That doesn't mean. I don't mean that to mean like I want more, or bigger, but not that. Not necessarily. But I think again. I mean, I can't help but contextualize these answers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a natural.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're in a business. Involved with something that you're committed to, passionate about, even. It's just, I don't think you can really do it unless you have that kind of drive to curiosity, whatever it is, that there's something new.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, you know, there's a lot. I mean, I feel like I'm really quite young in this business. And, you know, I haven't been in it that long, and I certainly haven't been in New York that long. I can't imagine anybody not answering the same way I did. I'd be very surprised if somebody said, "Yeah, it's got it made," or whatever. I mean, that's
right.
The curse of death. You have to think it is.
Right. But I mean,
it's certainly not even close to
true. Right. Because we touched on that. Because I mean, there's some dealers like, say, Arnie Glimcher, who has other interests now that seem to take a lot of his time.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think he's lucky.
Yeah.
I think he's lucky that he can. I think he's lucky that he can run, you know, an absolutely world-class gallery and still have the time to pursue something at a very professional level. Also, I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to do what he does, but I think it's I think it's admirable that he can do that.
And would it not be an exaggeration to say that they're like they're artists that he represents that you think highly of?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that, yeah. So, and since we last met, there was also that Kuhn, Jeff Koons, there was a poodle, right?
Yeah.
That sold as well?
Yeah. It's a miracle. He's acting like it's a miracle.
No, I'm not at all. No, not at all. I think that was a great piece, by the way. I thought that was one of the...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought that was terrific. Yeah. Because when you mention that, I mean, like, Leo Caselli, I think, was 50 when he started being an art dealer. And I know you're not there.
Not 50. No.
Yeah, so the... yeah. And did the De Souvero, did that find, did someone...
It hasn't totally been concluded, but it looks really good.
Okay.
Yeah, hi. There's actually a fire in the building. We all have to get out of the building. Okay. Yeah, there's a kind of fire truck should come.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's not a good sign.
That's not good.
In terms of, would there be, I mean, so you look at it as very open. I mean, this being a gallerist, this whole thing is being a very open-ended for you, like you plan to, like, be in for the long haul.
Well, I mean, you know, if when I started, somebody said to be doing that in 5 years, and in 5 years, I've never, you know, I just that's one way I can check, is if I think back quite recently, and
right.
So would you have, and I wouldn't have known that things would have happened. And I'm not really, I really don't think that that's a good way to approach things. I think it's it's more fun for me. I think I think it's a more productive if you just kind of stay busy and not think about what you've done or what you're going to do. I think it's bad to look backwards or forwards. I mean, you have to look forwards.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. But not in the sense of looking forward, like projecting yourself into some situation or some role or some anything. Really. I think it's extraneous.
It doesn't have any. I mean, running a business like this is probably like other businesses. It's like typical to have, you know, whatever, loans from banks for either, you know, for operations and stuff like that. I mean, is that, I mean, most scout.
No, I've never had a loan for operations. I've sometimes, you know, we use a bank to buy paint or something like that, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never borrowed money for the gallery, ever.
So it's
there's
been...
There's no bank money in the gallery whatsoever.
Right, so it's the
I think if you start borrowing money for operations, I mean, that would be a...
Right, that's like deep. Deep.
That's ridiculous. That would be a one in that position.
So it's really been just for inventory,
right.
Or to, if you need to...
Situation where you need, you know,
right, a lot of cash.
Right.
And because, I mean, and is that something that you, like, that's just like a way to do business?
Well, I don't do that much of it, but I have. I like not having a lot of, you know, debt, actually. But there are times when it's the best route. It can often be better than a partner or something like that. I mean, but I think it has to be used very judiciously. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But obviously the wrong is it's abused or it's not disciplined.
So you're the, I mean, is it, I mean, you're the, I mean, you're the sole proprietor,
right.
Sole
right.
Investor,
that's
whatever,
right.
In this?
That's right.
And is that, so you don't have any partners or anything like that? And is that something you've just wanted to do all the time? Like you'd rather go to the bank than have a partner?
Well, it's not an either or thing because I don't go to the
right.
It's not a matter of course that we go to the
yeah.
bank. But if in that one isolated situation mm-hmm. you can borrow the money mm-hmm. for, you know, for a short-term situation, a big mm-hmm. situation, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's a cheaper partner than somebody who's going to, you know, get 50% of the upside.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but,
that's true.
But there are times when, you know, I think galleries will join forces, dealers will join forces, buy pictures together, and we engage in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all galleries that I know, have partnerships on pictures. I mean, it's probably one of the oldest mm-hmm. things a gallery has done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's even more so in Europe than here. I mean, mm-hmm. in London and the Old Master did.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a way of...
Also,
you lessen the burden, and you also have two or three or four, how many people out there potentially who can market the picture. But I've never had a backer or a partner per se, just strategic situations.
Because this other guy I ran into, I didn't run into him, I talked to him. I hope this isn't...
Yeah. I'll call him back shortly, okay? I'm going to have to...
Okay.
Are you almost there?
Yeah, I'm almost there. Well, can you, I mean, because I'm sort of like fishing around in a sense for anecdotes, but you don't like to, in terms of like, you know, deals that you did or things like that. But this one, could you say anything about, or this guy, not Frederick Wiseman, but Richard Wiseman? The son of Frederick Wiseman apparently did a big transaction with you in the 80s, and was that one of your bigger?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But it's.
I think it's already been.
Yeah. Has it?
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's. I think you know that's basically it. I just wanted to like fill in a few of those.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. when Gallery buys and sells pictures, I don't need you to.
Right.
Because, it's not because I'm coy or anything like that. It's just not good business. Because it's a business that I think does best in an atmosphere of confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's paramount to mm-hmm. this business, is secrecy, confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that buy pictures, not just from this gallery, but from mm-hmm. any gallery, you know, want that. If they want to trumpet their
right.
acquisitions
mm-hmm.
around town, that's their business.
Mm-hmm.
But I never join in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess that's it. If I have to, the thing that's missing here is the post is needs to get a photographer over here to take your picture.
Okay.
So. They're supposed to call me, and are you going to be in town, like, for the next, I mean, you're not going away for...
I'll be here next week.
Okay.
And then, beginning of June, it's going to be after June, some traveling, so...
Okay. So that